Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Take your Bible tonight. You got a Bible? Say amen. Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. I really can't wait to get to Genesis 22 because I love Genesis 22. It's such a beautiful, it's a blessing. But Genesis 21 is a blessing as well. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 9. And I was kind of dealing with Hagar a little bit. And I was going back over it again and just was a real blessing to me. And I want it to be an encouragement and a blessing to you. I've had people call and talk to me about, you know, how they enjoy our ministry and things like that. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm humbled by it. And, you know, they get a feeling of kind of what our church is like. You know, they may watch the Sunday morning service on the internet or they'll watch something like that. And I try to be, even when I'm doing like the Watchman thing, I try to be a reflection of what this church really is. And I know some groups of church people that are real high and mighty and they're real stuck on themselves. And they're very arrogant, very cocky, very legalistic. And there's an issue going on this week. Somebody is dealing with that in our church. And they've just been rejected and cast away and by Christians who think that they're better than everybody else. And you guys know how I feel about that. I just don't. When you start letting me know that you think you're better than me, I'm out. I'm done. I just can't. I don't need that. I used to try to suck up to people that I wanted. I wanted their favor. I wanted whatever it was. I wanted to, you know, I wanted them to notice me. And as you get older, you just get over that and say, you know what? I'm me. I can't help it. This is who I am. I'm saved by the grace of God, and I'm going to quit trying to be like everybody else. I'm just going to be what God tells me to be. Somebody say amen. I'll tell you what, when I convey that to people, I tell people, look, our church really, we're the first church of the salvage yard. We're the people that's been thrown out, cast away, and called names and everything else in the book. That's how it's been. And God just sends them here. And we're pretty much just, you know what fellowship is, don't you? It's when two fellows are in the same ship together. And we're just all in this little wreckage boat. Amen?
Amen.
Or at least I am.
Yes.
Okay? But anyway, and that's just us. But I'll tell you, the greatest work that God does, you just consistently look in the Bible, the greatest work God does is not with the high and the mighty and the acceptable people of the world. It's the foolish, it's the weak, it's the castaways, it's everything else. In fact, I'm going to show you this from the Bible. God is the one who is in charge of you being cast away. He was the one. It was His idea. Okay? And I'm going to show you that. There's going to be some deals here. Now, there's several things I want you to remember as we're going through this. Number one, I believe from the scripture, I believe that Hagar and Ishmael represent, and their offspring represent the Arabs. The Arab states and the Arab nations. And I believe, according to scripture, that there's going to come a time when God's going to deal with them and save them. I believe that. Okay? But number two, we dealt with the typology last week in Galatians chapter 4 that Hagar and Ishmael are a type of the Jews who have been born of Mount Sinai. They're born in bondage, they're born in the law, and yet God is going to bring about a situation in Israel where the Jews are going to accept Jesus as their Messiah and they're going to be saved. God's going to restore His covenant. Do you believe that? Say amen. Okay? But number three, so I want you to keep that in mind on those two levels there. But then another level of this is how God brought you to salvation, or how God brings you to better things in your Christian walk. If I were to ask you tonight, how many of you do want better things in your life with the Lord? Somebody say amen. We should want it. Those of you who don't want something better, number one, you're not here tonight. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I just preach that to nobody. Okay, the people who do want better things, by and large, they're here tonight. They're here in the house of God because I look at my life and I can see that there's some still some wildernesses that I'm in that I don't like being in. And God led me out. God forced me to go. He cast me away out there. But he's got something better for me. And so I want you to keep that in mind. Now, let's see here. I want us to look in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 21. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham. Now I want you to remember that Hagar is an Egyptian. The son that she's going to have is half Jew and half Egyptian. Half Abraham, half Egyptian. And then later on we see that he takes a wife that is Egyptian. And the reason why I'm showing you all that is that when you look in Isaiah 19, you see specifically the prophecy concerning those of Egypt, of whom Hagar and Ishmael are of. And the prophecy there of Isaiah 19 deals with how God is going to save Egypt in the last days. Okay, in the millennial kingdom, God's going to save them. Okay. So if I'm reading that right, that's what I get out of that. But anyway, so Sarah saw the Hagar, the son of the Egyptian, or the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, children in the Bible, or especially sons, they always represent the hope of what can be. Okay, the hope of what can be. Matthew, I'm going to talk about you tonight. Okay, so years ago, I used to run off down to West Plains and go deer hunting. I used to go down there by myself. Okay, one year, Matthew was just all over. I mean, I could tell he wanted to go, but he just wasn't ready yet. So he said, Dad, kill a deer for me. Well, that's big pressure on me. I mean, that's a lot of pressure on Daddy, okay? Because I'm not all that good at it, but I like going. Well, I prayed about it all the way down there. God, you know, my son asked, Lord, let me kill a deer. Well, I killed a deer that same day. I killed a deer. And I'm just thanking God, this and that and the other. Well, I can tell he's wanting to go. So the last couple of years I took him, but he didn't have a license. I didn't think he was ready for it. Last year he was sitting in the stand with me. He's the one that spotted that big 9-point buck running up the hill. Dad, there he is right there. And I'm going, whoa, man, what was I thinking? Yay. So, I mean, I had hopes. I'll be honest with you. I got hope that this boy turned out to be a lot better deer hunter than his daddy is. Okay. Well, this year he bagged a little button buck. Okay. On his own. I wouldn't hold his hand now. Say, now, son, shoot this way. Now do that. Now, he's out there all by himself. Shot that deer. Amen. Children in the Bible represent the hope that is in the future. Amen. Okay, we hope that our children end up, no, I don't know of anybody here who hopes their children end up serving God less than what they're serving. I hope my child's a drunk. I want my boy to get kicked out of every saloon he's in. I don't know of anybody like that. So children represent hope. So here it is. Here's Hagar and here's her son, her hope, because he's born of Abraham. And here's her son. And Sarah says, honey, get him out. And the thing grieved Abraham, and he didn't want to do it. But God told him, hey, Abraham, hearken to your wife. Now I want to tell you something. God is not a mean God. We might think he's mean every now and then, but he's not a mean God. He's a good God, but he has a purpose. And the things that happen in our life, what does the Bible say to them that love the Lord? All things work together for what? For good to them who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose, not ours. Okay? And God had a way that He was, God, listen, God had a way how He was going to bring you to your knees to get saved. Amen, Roy? God had a way. You know, did you know that God could have saved Roy when he was 12 years old before he ever put a bottle to his lips? God could have saved that man and made him clean and whole then and never had to deal with that stuff. That's not how God decided to do it. God decided to take him down the road that he was on. And I like to use Roy because Roy sits there and shakes his head. But there's a lot of Roy sitting in this building tonight. Amen. There's a lot of us sitting there that when we look back on the years that we wasted and the things that we've done, we just cringe and say, God, will you ever have mercy on me? God had mercy on you before you ever did them. Okay? And I'm here to tell you that the things that have befallen you in your life, God is the one who led you into that to bring you to where you are now. Somebody say amen. I tell you, and I know it's one thing to just lament about stupid stuff we've done, but I want to tell you something, God had it all in mind. That's the God I believe in. Amen. So anyway, he said in verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. And all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. But look at what he said in verse 13. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Now, I'm going to tell you something today. I was praying today about, and it's been a pretty busy week so far this week, but I was praying today about the next Watchman broadcast, and I said, God, show me what you want me to do. And I was studying this word nation in the Bible, and I read two verses, and I've got probably an hour and a half worth of Watchman broadcast I'm going to talk about, okay, if I ever get to it. But anyway, that word nation is the same word that we use like nativity or native. If somebody, it has to do with the race that you are of, or a seed or a bloodline is what it is. And when God uses the word nation, not every time, but often, he's referring to his seed. God's seed is a nation. It's his own particular people, his own children. So God said, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. Now we're going to see something greater than that here in a little bit. So verse 14, the Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar. That's not much. That's not much. And God, you have to remember now, God's in charge of this. We're going to see here in a minute. You know what God wanted? God wanted that bread and that bottle of water to run out real fast. And I want you to think about the things that the things in your life that were insufficient in your own life. Things that you were depending on, things that you were going to live on, things that I don't even know how to deal it out to you tonight, but I'm just asking the Holy Ghost to deal with you, to give you some understanding of what I'm talking about. The things that we thought we were going to depend on in our life to get us through, that God purposely, I mean, stop and think about it. You people, as far as I know, have never been millionaires. Okay? Never been, Roy. It hadn't happened. Okay? You've never been millionaires. God did not give you an abundance of wealth. Because if he had, you'd have been like every other rich person out there. Hate God. Amen? And I'll be honest with you. Okay? Years ago, back when Lisa and I first got married, every now and then, I could probably, maybe four times, I bought a lottery ticket. Hoping to be the next mega millionaire. Because I was young and didn't want to work and want a lot of money. And I always said, I'll use this for God. Oh. What a fool. Amen. I like what we sung a while ago. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. Amen. Listen, I'm rich in this Bible beyond what this world has to offer. Man. God didn't make me a rich man, didn't make me wealthy, didn't make me have a lot of stuff in my life and all this and that and the other. And all the other junk that I've carried around in my life. God handed me things in life that he knew was going to be insufficient. He knew it wasn't going to last. And he knew that at some point I was going to get really hungry and really thirsty. So once you listen to this. So he gave her a bottle of water and a loaf of bread. He took bread and a bottle of water, gave it into Hagar. Didn't give her. The Bible didn't say he gave her a tent. You didn't give her camels and horses and everything. You didn't give her none of that. He said, here you go. Take off. Okay, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And I want to ask you to ask yourself tonight, how many of you have ever wandered in the wilderness? How many of you have been in the wilderness of doubt, doubting the Bible? The wilderness of where you haven't been praying. You've been wandering in the wilderness. When you wander in the wilderness, you don't know where you're going. Have you ever been in a place in life where you didn't know where you was going? Didn't know what was going on? Been in a place in your life where you've been in the wilderness of sin? There's actually a place in the Bible called the wilderness of sin. Capital S-I-N. I don't know if God just meant that to look that way, but it sure looks that way because I've been in that wilderness. Amen? Been in the wilderness of sin, been in the wilderness of disobedience, been in the wilderness of failed marriages, been in the wilderness of financial loss, been in the wilderness of bereavement where we've lost loved ones, been in the wilderness. I mean, been in the wilderness. Wandering. No direction. No one to lead us. Out there by ourselves. And it's like nobody cared. Nobody cared. Nobody to talk to. Nobody, no friends, nothing. You're out there. You're all alone. God had her out there. And God had you out there. And God, you might be there tonight. God's got you there. Okay? Now watch this. Verse 15. And the water was spent in the bottle. Gone. Dried up. Nothing. Tell you something. The greatest thing that God will ever do for you is take it all away. It's the greatest thing that He'll do for you is take it all away. Lose it. It's gone. Okay? How many of these people win lotteries that within a couple of years, they ain't got nothing? There was a lady I'd heard. I don't know if I'm going to get this right. There was a lady. She was just on the news a couple weeks ago. She was trying to sell her granddaughter for about $80,000-$90,000. This is a woman who just a few years ago had won a lottery winning. And I guess had a lump sum or something like that. And just in a year or two, it was gone. North County, is that where she was from? It was gone. Boom. Wasted. And she had lived so high on the hog for one or 2 years, or however long it was, that she couldn't take the thought of living less than what she had been living. And she was going to sell her own grandbaby for $90,000. That's sick. Okay? God will leave you with nothing. You'll have absolutely nothing. You won't have any friends. You won't have any. You'll have nothing. And that's exactly where God wants you. Bankrupt. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine the wealth of the kingdom of heaven? The streets of heaven are paved with gold that is so pure that it's transparent. We have never seen gold like that. Okay? Blessed are the poor in spirit, the bankrupt, the people who can't pay their bills. You went out and you sinned. And every time you sinned, you wrote a check that you couldn't cash. You wrote a check where you didn't have no money in the bank. Every time you said, I don't care if it was one little stupid lie that you told when you're in third grade. You wrote a check out and put it out there and you got bills that you can't pay. You cannot pay. That's why hell is forever. Because it's a debtor's prison to those who could not pay the bill and they'll never be able to pay the bill for eternity. That's why it's that way. That's why when God offers you the deal of a lifetime that He will pay a bill that you cannot pay, I suggest you take Him up on it. Amen. I suggest that you say, hey, you're going to pay the bill? I'm there. Okay? I love this. The water was spent in the bottle, and I want you to look what she did. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. She's out in the wilderness. The water's been drank. The bread's been eaten. And there's nothing left. They're in the desert. Linda Toomey wishes she was in the desert right now. I see her back there shaking a little bit. Okay? And look at verse 16. And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat up over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Now I want you to get this picture, because this will break your heart. They've been in the wilderness. Ain't no telling how long the water had been gone. And they were both nearly dead. And she told her son Ishmael, sit here. And she went off, the Bible says about a bow shot, and I don't know exactly how long that is, but apparently she went off just far enough to where she could not hear him screaming and dying. That's desperation. That's when you've come to a place and been there. That's when you come to a place where you're saying, okay, I'm dead. I'm dead. Been there. I got to tell the radiologist that today. Okay? I got to tell them my story. They made the mistake of asking me, well, how did you get, not, you know, you're being electrocuted. How did that, you know, how'd you get out of that? Let me tell you something. There was an old boy in there. I could tell, as I was telling this, that he was building a big brick wall all around him, trying not to hear it and trying not to believe it. But I said, look, you need to believe it, because I'm telling you it's true. God will have mercy on anybody that will call unto him. And I said, I couldn't genuflect, I couldn't cross myself, I couldn't pay money, I couldn't do anything. But I asked God for mercy, and God heard me. Okay? And once you've been to a place where you're dead and you know it, I'm going to tell you something, there's nothing like it. Do I want to go through it again? No, not really. Except maybe it'll bring me closer to the Lord. I just hope that the next time it happens, it takes me like all the way. Okay? You know? So anyway, but she's sitting there as far away from her son as she can possibly get, so she can't hear him scream as he dies. And she's been outcast and thrown to the garbage heap. And she's been sent to die. And now she sits down. And she's not even praying to God. She's just crying. She's just weeping. And God heard the voice of the lad. Amen. God heard that. Now this is the castaway child. The King James Bible says, this is the bastard child. The one who doesn't have an inheritance. The one who doesn't have a name. The one who has nothing. This is you and I, who came to the cross bankrupt with nothing. God heard the voice of the lad, the angel of God. Who is that? That's Jesus. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. It'd be a good study for you if you just look up every place in the Bible where it said, fear not and do not fear. Be not afraid. Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Just because, and you got far enough away where you couldn't, but God heard it. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Now look at verse 19. And God opened her eyes. You see, the reason why we got out in the wilderness in the first place is because we were blind. We were blind to the ways of God. We were blind to our own sin. We were blind. We were blind to other people's needs around us that we were not paying attention to. We were just blind. The Bible made no sense to us. You probably have sat here, as good a preacher as I am, you've probably sat here and listened to a sermon and went, just a little joke. But you probably have sat here in this church house, out in the wilderness, and I was preaching my guts out, and it just went, because you were in the wilderness and you were blind. Okay? But then one day, God opened your eyes. And by the way, he did not send Benny Hinn over to you to smack you on the head.
Yes. Amen.
Amen? God opened her eyes. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And God always, even as Christians, when God will lead us out in the wilderness, he's doing it so that we'll cry. God will break us down because we're too full of pride. We're arrogant. We think that we've done it on our own. And I'll tell you, don't think for a minute that he doesn't do it with me. And he'll have to keep doing it with me. Every time somebody sends me a nice email or calls me on the phone and says, oh, Pastor Mike, oh, we think this is great. Oh, this is, I guarantee you, every now and then, God will let that build up. And then he'll say, okay, Mike, we're fixing to go back down again. And he'll bust me up over pride and self-righteousness. And I thank him for that.
Amen.
I praise him for it. Okay? And then, oh, look what she saw when he opened her eyes. She saw what? Well of water. Did you know that she was probably sitting right up against it? Amen. She's probably, when she sat down, she's probably leaned up against something she thought was just a rock. No, it was the protective covering around the well. She's leaned up. I'm just making that up. But it was definitely within her line of sight. She was sitting right in front of it. And didn't even see it. And then God opened her eyes. And what did she see? A well of water. Stop. Think about this. Because now, let me give the layer here. Layer number one. Israel has one bottle of water. It's the Old Testament. And it's well spent. A Jewish congregational worship service is one of the most driest things you can probably go to. Okay? It's reading in Hebrew, which a lot of people, even Jews, don't even understand. And it's just a dry, dull, dead, empty vessel of a religion that used to be. And it's been well spent for years. The well of water is what the Samaritan woman found when she came to the well. Amen? And she was a whore. She had had six husbands. She was living, shacking up with another, five husbands, shacking up with another guy. Had no worth in her whatsoever. Was a half-breed that everybody hated. She was a castaway that nobody wanted. And even questioning, why are you, a Jew, sitting here talking to me? Jesus said, oh, listen. I know you come here for water. And I have a well of water that springs up into everlasting life. That if you'll drink from this water, and I like this Bible right here. It's the well of water. Amen. Listen, you drink from this and you'll never, ever, ever thirst again. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Open her eyes. Oh, I done lost my place now. I shut my eyes just for a second. Lost my place. God opened my eyes again. Here he is. God opened her eyes, verse 19, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. And God was with the lad. And he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And it finishes the story a little bit later on. Does anybody know how many sons Ishmael had? You might want to take a guess. Take a guess how many sons Ishmael had. 12. 12 is always the number of promise in the Bible. It always is. Okay? God promised that he would make a great nation out of Ishmael, and he gave him 12 sons. And I'm here to tell you, when God makes a deal, he makes a deal. When God makes a promise, he makes a promise, and he fulfills the promise. And I know probably some of you, there might be somebody sitting here tonight that's in the wilderness. You're in the wilderness. And you're blind. And your bottle is just about gone. And hold on. Because it's going to get a little bit worse. And you're going to start crying. In fact, you're going to end up away from everybody and you're going to end up crying. And God's going to hear your voice. And he's going to bless you. And he's going to give you eternal life. He's going to bring you one step closer to home. How many of y'all want that tonight? Say amen. And I just feel led to do this tonight. I'm not having an invitation, but what I am going to ask you to do is I want to ask you to bow your head. Okay? I'm going to ask you to bow your head right here, right now. I'm not going to ask for your hand raising. I'm not going to ask for anything. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, God's dealing with hearts tonight. God's moving, and I can tell you that he is. I see it in some people's faces. And you don't think I see it. I see it. And I'm not some big spiritual wing-ding, all-knowing, this and that and the other, prophesying guru, but I can tell you I can see some things in this building tonight. And I can see how God is moving in hearts of acceptance. And I can see how God is moving in hearts of rejection. And I'm telling you tonight, the deal that you've got on the table right now is that if you'll cry, God will hear your voice. If you're out in the wilderness, God will give you a well of water. If you think it's all gone and all forsaken and all lost and there's no hope, I'm here to tell you that God is the one that brought you out there so that you could see hope. He's the one that led you to sit by the well of water and you didn't even see it. He's the one that led you there the whole time. And I'm pleading with you tonight. I'm begging you. If God's dealing with your heart tonight, don't shut him out. You don't have to make a big show. But I'm telling you, if God's dealing with your heart tonight, don't shut him out. Don't do it. Please. Let him in. Let him fill your bottle. Let him give you eternal life. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this night. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Lord, I needed this. And Lord, I'm just so thankful, God, for that wilderness, God. I am. The best things, God, you've ever done for me has been, Lord, while I was out in the wilderness. God, I'm just thankful, God, Lord, for your love on me, your mercy, and for sovereign grace, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for my own stupidity, my own arrogance, God. Lord, I thank you for that because, God, you made me the way I am. You caused me to be an outcast, Lord. You caused me to be a derelict and everything else. And you put me out in the wilderness, dear God, where nobody wanted me. And Lord, I just cried one day, and Lord, you heard me. And Lord, I'm just thankful for that. And Lord, Father, I wish, above all things, Lord, that I could just convey this in such a way, Lord, as it'd make a difference in somebody's life. Because, Lord, I'd like for people to know, dear God, just how good you are. Just how merciful you are, God. And I wish, dear God, that people, Lord, that are stubborn, Lord, would come to you and say, God, forgive me. Lord, have mercy on this church. Thank you, dear God, Lord, that the world's kicked us out and even some of the church groups, Lord, kicked us out. And yet you brought us together, Lord. We're the rejects, we're the Hagars, we're the Ishmaels. But thank you, Lord, for the well of water. Thank you, Lord, for never thirsting again. We love you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Bless your people tonight. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.